We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock, and congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty and non-farting in public, Ron Hughley.
A big deal.
As well as T. Mill, a.k.a.
Oh, Fluffer Ron.
Psycho T. And I guarantee you, Clinton, there's no reason for you to even ask Tyler if you have room tonight.
No.
We got to get to Money Bags, because Money Bags went 0 for 6 for the first time yesterday at all his picks. So we'll get to Money Bags in a bit. We get to T-Mill's best bets, and which only means he's really going to jump back on it tonight.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
Yeah, it did. And that's what Clint was trying to get in on there. Luckily for you, you didn't have any.
I'd have been 0 for 1.
An 0 for 1, yeah. But you would have had the Kelce one. You would have had
the I'd have had the Kelce one, and I'd have had the Jamar Chase one, you'd so I'd be that. In the green.
Yeah, you'd have been in that. All right.
I really broke it off on me, man.
The latest is 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And also, as we heard from D'Amico Ryans, he did give an update on his star wide receiver, Nico Collins. Here's the latest from him with Nico Collins.
No setback with Nico. That was just a game time decision. Yeah, I anticipate him practicing.
He says no setback, game time decision. He anticipates him practicing. Clint, do you anticipate that this is the week that we see Nico back against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I do. I do. When he was answering the game time decision, he was referring to what it was last week.
Yep.
He was asked about Nico Collins and why he didn't play. He said it was a game time decision. They decided not to play him. This week, he's going to be back at practice. So, yes, I absolutely expect Nico Collins to play against the Cowboys. And I know it's not it's not the way that I'm wired, and I know it's not the way that a lot of our listeners are wired, but the truth of the matter is the Cowboy game is one of five games that are left on this schedule. You have seven games left, and five of them are very, very, very winnable games for you. That's the Dolphins, the Cowboys, the Jags once, and the Tennessee Titans twice. You got to win at least three of those games. I think the magic number's 9. Hell, it may even be 8 now that the Colts messed the bet again. So, you know, that number's going down. But this is just one of those games where, boy, you can really solidify and win this division early if you handle your business.
And when, to the point you're making about that part about handling the division, handling your business, I don't know that the Colts are good enough to capitalize on it. They have not been thus far, but they have the 31st easiest schedule the rest of the way through. In terms of their opponents.
The Colts do?
The Colts do. In terms of their opponents and what they have left, they've got the 31st easiest schedule. The Texans are in the top half of that with what they have, and that's with some sneaky ones in there. Like the Dolphins, who look different after we saw them last night. They look a little different. We'll have to see that the Texans will face a different Dolphins team that's been playing the last several weeks with Tua back. But I don't think that the Colts are good enough to handle it to the point you're making if you go ahead and take care of business in the games that you should win, that you absolutely should win. And Nico Collins clearly helps that. I got no problem with how they've handled the situation thus far, Clint, because that's just so, he's a player you got to have, and you can't afford, as Nico said, he wasn't specifically talking about him, but talking about players in general, to have any kind of setback with the hamstring, and you maybe give him an extra step. Because when he has played, Clint, he has been spectacular. When he has played, he has carried this passing game at times, it seems like, on its own. And he seems to, which is weird, Clint, right? Tank last year, I would have argued he has the best, you know, chemistry with C.J. Stroud. And whenever C.J. was in trouble, you know, it's not tight ends. It was Tank who he seemed to connect with. Clearly, the start of the year, the first four, it was him that they were doing. And I do agree with what someone on the text line said earlier. When's the last time the Texans made a big play? Like, had a big play in the passing game, right? Like, it feels like
the play that, Nico got hurt.
It feels like the play that Nico got hurt on, right? Like, they got a pass interference penalty for Xavier Hutchinson. Yeah,
the long tank down the sideline against, was that Green Bay?
No, he didn't have a catch in that game. So I'm trying to think.
I feel fairly positive the last big touchdown play was that Nico play.
Yeah, he got hurt. That was a big. That was a 70-something yard play.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets is the game I'm talking about.
Was the Jets? Yeah, he had. Oh yeah, he had the long one down the sideline.
That was a crossing route. He caught it like 4 yards back past the line of scrimmage and went and took it.
Outside of that, yeah, that one outside. It's not a lot of big plays that they've had, and they've been able to get Nico down the field for huge plays. I believe he was leading the league in 20-plus yard, you know, reception. So. It's a big deal to have him back. Also, other news with the Texans, Clint, they've made some moves. They released cornerback Desmond King for the second consecutive year from the practice squad. Also, tackle David Sharp from the practice squad. They had released D'Angelo Russell. We were up in the press box looking at the sheet, like saying, "Hold on, they still had him actually on the 2D, but they had waived him. Excuse me, and he." He has now since been signed back to the practice squad. If you remember D'Angelo Ross, he started and played 100% of the snaps against the Patriots and the Packers earlier this year. They bring him back in. They've also worked out a couple of other guys. Cornerback Rashad Fenton, a former player from Georgia. Sheldrick Redwine, a safety they've worked out, as well as Gary Brightwell, running back. So they have worked out some guys but made some moves there in that secondary, Clint.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the secondary. Jeff Okuda is the one for me. I mean, I've got myself good and excited about it when he comes back and when Lassiter's healthy. I mean, you've got some cover defenders that, have the chance to be really, really good. And so, until then, we don't know what the hell's going on with Jeff, and we really don't know exactly the extent of what's going on with Lassiter. So until we find that out, they're obviously making some moves for a reason.
Yeah. So that is the latest there. Moves with the Texans. Great news with Nico. Looks like he's trending back to playing. We'll see who his practice status is tomorrow. And then, if you like, pour one out for Dez King. One more time. We've lost Dez.
Nico has got him on fire, baby.
5 o'clock fire.
Thought you might have a Dez highlight you might throw in there. It'd be nice if you could make a
Cheryl?
Dez. I wish you could make a Dez King montage. That would be a great one. Dez had some moments. Remember that last year Dez kept getting screwed out of big plays and officials were changing calls on him? He got screwed out of big plays. All right. Cowboys, Dak Prescott to have season-ending surgery. Jerry Jones says the Cowboys will place Prescott on IR, creating a roster spot. And they've signed Will Greer. Is that West Virginia? He played for West Virginia. I think he played for a few people, but he played for West Virginia. The latest
started at Florida.
Tremendous
high school career.
He is. He's signed to the practice squad, and that they add him to their quarterback room, which includes Cooper Rush, who threw for 48 yards.
Don't tell me what I'm saying.
I would love to see over under. I said at 9.5. How many drives do you think Dak Prescott has had this season where he's thrown for 48 yards or more? Like how many drives do you think Dak? Ooh. And he did it in a full game.
Four quarters. Oh boy, that's rough.
Four quarters. He did that. Anyway, he throws for 48 yards. Cooper Rush, Trey Lance in there as well. But they add him. But Dak is done for the season, and I'm very, very happy for Dak. Who the hell wants to? You were spot on about this absolute. The wheels, the doors, everything is falling off.
It isn't on my schedule.
After week, and now, you know, they've got Cooper Rush here. I don't know why. Trey Lance just must be awful to not give him a shot, because it would make sense to at least give him a shot. I wouldn't be surprised, Clint, if the Texans, and we may talk about this, may have to at least deal with Trey Lance packages with him using his legs or something. But they better use him at some point. But the big point is Dak is going to be out for the year.
Well, Dak's out for the year. And you're talking about the wheels coming off, man. Obviously, the worst case scenario was Dak getting injured. But you because, you know, you just can't handle adversity. These guys just handle adversity, I mean, just poorly. It's you look at it, and it starts at the top. Jerry doesn't handle it well with the way that he handles the media. Hell, he's trying to fire a radio host a couple weeks back, and now his quarterback's hurt. Now Micah Parsons, after they get embarrassed on TV, Micah Parsons is talking just to put a bow on it. I mean, he's ultimately disrespecting his head coach and you know, for no reason whatsoever, and just causing more of a mess storm. And so he tried
to fix it on his podcast.
No, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he tried to fix it. But that's they can't get out of their own way. And it just the act, man, just gets old, man. It starts with Jerry. You know, it ends up creating an environment where it's super difficult for, you know, the true, genuine alpha leaders like a Dak Prescott. It gets to a point where it's so difficult for those guys to lead and consistently win. You got all these I'd say external factors, but they're really more or less just they're internal. Well, working against you, it's just.
Are you surprised there's not consideration for Trey Lance?
I'm shocked. Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't that make sense?
Didn't he trade a fourth round pick for him?
I think he traded for multiple picks, I believe.
Well, I think that the highest one was a fourth round pick. Like I'm shocked that Jerry, just to save face. I mean, you traded a fourth round pick for him, so let the guy play. Even if he plays bad, you can say, "Hey, I'm just trying to find my next quarterback, and I'm trying to find."
But clearly, I think they still may dig out of this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the hell the thought is with Cooper Rush, because Trey Lance is clearly the higher ceiling quarterback.
And you know what Cooper is, right?
Exactly what Cooper is. Cooper's a guy that the less supporting cast you have around him, the much more difficult it is to even throw for 50 yards in a game.
Yeah, the Texans ought to destroy them.
Should, absolutely.
Destroy them.
Now, I'm not talking to these Yahoos on the end of this phone.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the big story in the NFL, and I know there are many Texans fans who feel like, which I think is asinine, but feel like the Texans should be doing the same thing. Shane Waldron, in his first season with the Bears, is fired as coordinator there. He was with Seattle the last couple of years, thought he was impactful in kind of the turnaround with Geno Smith, but they've announced that they're going to let him go. The Bears announced firing him Tuesday, one day after head coach Matt Eberflus promised changes and adjustments for the struggling Bears and their passing game coordinator, Thomas Brown. Remember, he was with the Rams for years under Sean McVay, then he was the OC for the Panthers, and then in the middle of the year got his play-calling duties revoked, and then I think he took him back once they fired Frank Reich. So he's been through it all, but damn, man, he don't even last a year in this thing. Yeah. And I'm not saying that there weren't struggles. It's still a bit surprising that, man, you got 9-10 games, man. That's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's when it's this bad, you might as well just move on. But the interesting thing about this is – what's come to light, and I'm sure other people knew about this before, but I'm just catching wind of the story, and it's being brought back to the surface, right? But this is the most recent of a defensive minded head coach that can't get out of his own way. This is the most recent, you know, example of a dysfunctional organization that just can't get it right, even when the writing is on the wall. Because Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, is being fired, they're bringing up the fact that the Bears, the brass, all the decision makers, they had an eight-hour meeting with Cliff Kingsbury, right? And could have hired Cliff Kingsbury and decided to go with Shane Waldron. Now, you think about this, Ron. This is overthinking. This is not common. Like Cliff Kingsbury was his offensive coordinator at USC. So, obviously, you want to fast-track this young guy to having a chance to survive, then bring in an offense that he already knows so he can be an extension of the coach, right? You look at the success. I mean, you call Cliff what you want to call him. He was a failed head coach at Arizona, obviously. But you look at the success that he had with Kyler Murray early on, MVP race and playoffs, and it was the same blueprint. Kyler Murray comes from Oklahoma, which is the same system that, that Cliff Kingsbury, boom, you plug him in, immediate success at a really high level. And so, there's a blueprint. Literally, you're meeting with the guy, and you somehow decide, no, we're good. We're going to go with this Shane Waldron guy. Which, Shane Waldron's great. I know he's had some success in his career, but it's just, I mean, good God, Ron. How can
you? But there was concern right off the bat what he does meshes to bring the best out of Caleb.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And you had an option that you knew was going to bring, was all that Caleb knew. It was going to bring the best out of him. And you had a recent blueprint of it working the exact same way that you want it to work in a place that's as difficult to win as Chicago when it happened in Arizona. So, this is just a perfect example of overthinking, not using common sense. The stars aligned for Chicago to hire Cliff Kingsbury, and you pass on it for some goofy-ass reason. And now he goes to
Washington.
He goes to Washington, and a rookie quarterback is tearing it up and is going to definitely win Rookie of the Year, and he's in the MVP, or was in the MVP conversation.
I mean, I'm a Caleb fan, and I want to see all these guys – you know, do well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is, he's rolling down that path we've seen. Like, he's going to have an entirely new coordinator now, but then he's going to have another entirely different coordinator next year and a new head coach next year. Like we're seeing, like, what Bryce went through, even though, you know, certain young quarterbacks that have gone through. That's why it's a blessing for CJ to have come into what we didn't know at the time, but this is such a stable place that he is rolling it. I mean, he's gonna have a third offensive coordinator by the time he rolls around in year two, and a second head coach, right? Like, I mean, that's rough for a guy that is as talented as he is. All right. Speaking of young quarterbacks, what's going on with CJ? Because the play in the third quarter at the 9:05 mark has me concerned than deeper than just, oh man, just a, you know, a missed throw. Because that was something that was really, really odd and out of character from CJ. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Coming in from the 5-hour Energy Fan text line, I think CJ's starting to get this David Carr syndrome right now. Stroud is literally turning into David Carr with this old line and play calling. Dude is gun shy now. I am not ready to go David Carr. I'm not ready to go Derek Carr. So I'm not ready to go there yet. But Clint, I'm intrigued to have this conversation to get your thoughts on this, and the people can jump in as well, 713-572-4610, as well as those of you on YouTube and Twitch. I have not been in any point like, hey, man, like CJ's really hitting this sophomore slump. They're showing him, or this is going to be a situation like has gone with Trevor, where he has taken, you know, where he's appeared to have taken big steps back, or other players like that, Clint. But that play that we've talked about, the play that we look at, CJ spoke about it, the play in which obviously had Tank wide open, set the play up, drawn up perfectly. He was open for a long time. We've seen that highlight. We saw what he did there, and he waited forever to throw it and left it short. To me, that was a little deeper than just a missed throw for me, because that one to me was like, all right, man, he is truly being affected. There wasn't very much of a rush at all. I mean, to be honest, there was a defensive end that was tracking back, but as you said earlier in the week, I mean, hell, I think Davis Mills makes that throw easy over there. I think, you know, lesser quarterbacks than C.J. Stroud make that throw over there. But it was like he couldn't get it out of his hands. It was like he didn't know how to throw it, if he should throw it on a line, if he should throw it lofted up there. It was like, damn, this cat ain't just taking the ball, seeing it, and bam, throwing it with confidence, ripping it in there or putting it where. Like, there was, I mean, you could have blindfolded CJ last year, he'd have made that throw. You could have blindfolded CJ, I think, 6 weeks ago, he would have made that throw.
He's wide open, CJ.
I mean, he was for a long time, Steve. And like, I for the first time was like, whoa, what's going on here? What's going on? Because that to me, that missed throw, and I said this to you earlier, Tyler, that missed throw is like Steph Curry going to the free throw line and just airballing two in a row.
That's a good analogy.
I heard Chris Sims say it earlier today, like, pick a player, Joe Burrow or CJ Stroud are probably the most accurate players in the game. That's like just Steph just going up, just bombing, just, I mean, no backboard, no rim, nothing, just airballing. It's in his head. Something's going on upstairs. And that, to me, Clint, that's the first time where I was like, yo, well, all right, what's up? What's up? And to a point where, because I'm thinking to myself, hey, they need CJ to come and pull them out of this. Well, hell, I don't know. They right now feel like that. They got that type of guy right now. So that's the first time I looked at CJ and was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, look, I think that play in particular really sticks out, obviously, because it was an interception that would have made it very difficult for the best team in football to come back. But there's, to me, that's just an example, kind of the impact, if you will, or the result, if you will, of all the pressure that he's taken. And that particular instance, it was less about pressure and just now things are moving really fast and things that he typically does really easy, he's making difficult. Things that are very simple for him typically are he's thinking about them and he's babying the throw instead of just slightly moving right and just rip that thing over Tank Dell's outside shoulder, let him catch it as he tiptoes the back of the end zone. And we keep this thing moving. There's a hint of doubt that creeps into his mind of like, I don't want to overthrow this. I don't want to miss it. He's so wide open. When in reality, you just got to rip that football. I think the overall point of what you're talking about, like.
But where's that come from, though, Clint? Where does that start to, as you played in this game, you've been there. How's this come in your head? Now that, how you move from, I guess, have you ever experienced that? In your time at Arkansas, your time at Dallas, where you were like, instead of being the guy that's just throwing a thing, that you're thinking that you find yourself.
Oh yeah, I overthought things a lot. I mean, I never got to a point in my career ever where I was as comfortable as CJ Stroud was last year.
Yeah,
and even as comfortable as he was in the first half this year. You know, that's why it was so remarkable what he was able to do last year and being so comfortable. He's showing some signs of being a young quarterback in this league right now. But look, where I was going with that, Ron, is I feel like this is the game, because there's been moments leading up to this game. I remember in the Jets game, there was two throws to John Metchie that were missed. I think the Indianapolis game before that here, there was two or three overthrows. One of them was Dalton Schultz, and Dalton couldn't even jump and hit it. And those are throws that CJ. So I think there were glimpses of throws that just weren't as, like, the accuracy started to struggle a little bit. What we saw this week was less pressure on the quarterback, but him still reacting in a way that the pressure still ratcheted up. His feet moving, bell in the pocket early. On the drive after Kamari Lassiter's interception, they go run, pass, pass. And the two passes, you can argue one of them bounces off the chest of Robert Woods, but the other one, and even though Robert Woods bounced off his chest, like, he's moving and there's no pressure. Like, there's a panic. He's feeling it in there. And this is the first time, and it's really because most time there is pressure, so it's hard to tell if he's feeling it or not, or it's easy to see that he is feeling it because it's real. This was a game where there was enough time to where it's like, damn, the pressure ain't there, and he's still feeling it. So you didn't just see a couple of errant passes and poor decisions, but you also saw a fidgety quarterback, a guy that has happy feet, a guy that you can see the game's moving really fast for him by what his feet are doing. And so I think this pass game, the takeaway is, boy, now it's obvious. Like I said earlier, like, to me, I'm focused. I think the most important thing – that the Texans do between now and Monday night is the 10 minutes they spend a day where it's Gerard Johnson and it's C.J. Stroud, and it's all about getting C.J. comfortable in chaos again. We're going to throw routes on air, so I need all our receivers out here to my left. We're going to throw the comeback. We're going to throw a comeback. Whatever route you want, just call the route. I don't give a damn. And then we're gonna have two or three of the different staff members out there. We're gonna be beating the hell out of CJ as he drops and pushes up in the pocket with these pads. We're gonna be screaming, making noise. We're gonna make him throw over nets. All at the same time. We're gonna create as much chaos as we can to make him uncomfortable. And I want to see him settle his ass down and make the throw. And we're gonna do it every day for 10 minutes to exhaustion. Get you a drink of water, and we're gonna go again. And that way you get reps fresh, you get reps like it's the fourth quarter and you're exhausted, you get all kind of different chaos thrown at you, you throw all these different reps, and we're going to get 250 to 300 reps by the time we get to the Monday night game this week. And hopefully he handles the pressure better. Because right now, like you said, it's habitual. It's just he's by habit, he's responding to something that's not there all the time now. Understand, by the way, I totally understand why it's happening, but the worst thing you can do is ignore it. You've got to attack it, address it, the lonely work. You got to spend that time. It's the most important thing the Texans do this week before they play the Cowboys.
T-Mill's best bet's coming up, and hopefully for CJ and the Texans offense that the offensive line helps out a little bit more. Did we see some signs of growth from the game on Sunday? We will discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Did that tape you watched on as the tape drop Tuesday occurred, did that make you feel any better in terms of the physicality up front?
Oh, no. You want to go there at 5:30 or 5:45? Cool. I'd love to.
Did it make you feel any better watching it?
No, it didn't. I mean, the tape drop Tuesday, I think, told me many of things. Bobby Slowick is – this ain't the week to jack with Bobby Slowick. The John Metchie has got a real chance to fill a void that Diggs left when he got injured. CJ is having some issues that's a result of all the pressure that he's faced. And then the most concerning one.
You know, you're never going to get over this, right? Like, this is never, well, no, because you're never going to accept
it. It's not going anywhere, right? I mean, look, here's the thing. The level of softness that is allowed on the offensive side of the football for the Houston Texans blows my mind.
We don't like that.
Especially when you've got a defensive-minded head coach that when he talks defense, constantly talks about being physical, playing fast, swarming, straining. And by the way, straining to me means obviously when you're tired, you strain to be better, you strain to finish, you strain to be elite in the fourth quarter. But also, when you don't have perfect position and you're blocking a guy and it's not ideal, you stay attached to that sucker and you drive him. If you drive him by the quarterback, keep fighting him. Don't think the play is over. Just keep fighting. Stay connected. Don't ever relax.
No strain the whole time. Game.
That's right, Vandy. You're damn right. Just stay locked in and strain, right? That's what it means to me. And the level of softness that's allowed on the offensive side of the football is mind-blowing. The level of quit that is allowed on the offensive side of the football is mind-blowing. And this isn't a boy generation, the old man get off my lawn. This is what ultimately gets you beat when you play good football teams. And the fact that D'Amico Ryan sits around and watches this week in, week out. We heard him today. What happened on the play where it was 3rd and 10 and Laramie Tunsil got beat right off the ball and CJ had tried to move, and then all of a sudden Titus quit on the play and Titus tried to strip the ball from CJ and take off running with it, right? You see it. Instead of D'Amico Ryan saying, you know what, I'm less worried about what the hell Titus Howard was doing trying to steal the ball, and I'm more worried about the fact that his ass quit. on the ball. I'm less worried about the crowd noise, which, by the way, I think the whole, oh, we had a snap problem, I think that's because the Detroit Lions, we're being honest, the Detroit Lions fans were so loud that probably Laremy Tunsil couldn't hear the snap, and so he didn't get off, and the defense moved when the ball did. That's probably what you're covering up for right there, by the way, Coach. But that, like, the all signs point to that this is being allowed with this football team. And it is like Seth Payne said a month ago, it's contagious. It's like a disease. I'm watching this game, man. Dari Agumbawale is in a game. And it is, so I'm assuming it's a third down. Passing situation. He's to the right of the quarterback. Snap the football. There is a defensive end that's got shoulder, hip, ribs all exposed for Dari Agumbawale to just give him a little check. Just get an elbow in that rib cage, get a shoulder in that rib cage, do whatever you want. But give him a little something, allow Titus Howard to catch his breath, get his feet set, and then just dominate a block. Instead, he just taps a D lineman, almost like, hey, Titus, you good? All right, well, I'm going to get out of here. Instead of chipping. Just some level of physicality. With Dalton Schultz, it is so bad with Dalton Schultz that when they want to run the football, they put in a guy that's a rookie, and they put in a guy that they picked up off the Chicago Bears practice squad. They take Dalton Schultz completely off the field, and I wholeheartedly believe, Ron, that it is 100% because of the level of softness that is on display every time Dalton Schultz is on the field. It's disgusting. It really is. It's disgusting. Titus Howard, I said this last week, the level of give, it's like he is just a cushion for whatever the defensive end wants to do, and he ends up in CJ's lap half the time, right? In the run game, he's blocking on the backside of a run game, and instead of like having some level of force and strain on a guy, he just kind of attaches and shuffles and bows his back and lets the guy almost dump him until he lets go of him. I mean, it is just... There's no way in hell that D'Amico Ryans watches that and goes, yeah, man, we're going to do some work against Baltimore's defense. We're going to do work against Detroit's defense. We're going to do work again. There's no way that you watch. Juice Scruggs and Laremy Tunsil double-teaming up to a backer. The D-tackle is in the gap between Juice is playing left guard now, between Juice and Laremy Tunsil, right? A little bit more shaded towards Tunsil. The linebackers outside almost head up on Tunsil. And they're going to double up to that linebacker. And instead of truly doubling and Juice like with some authority and some aggression, getting in the shoulder and getting in that side of that defensive lineman and shoving his ass out there so Laremy Tunsil can again take a little breath and get the result of what a double team should be. Right? You're either going to do that if you're Juice, or you tell Laremy, I'm out of here. I'm going to the second level right now. Instead, he taps Laremy, like kind of just touches the defensive lineman on the shoulder as he kind of just stalls and stalls. And then he goes up there and he whiffs on the damn linebacker. Nobody's even trying to move anybody. And look, I know I talked to my boy Smitty, Wade Smith, 2 years ago. And Smitty said, Clint, these dudes are coached a little different nowadays. Yeah. If you're looking for a guard, if you're looking for a guard to play the position the way I played it, then you're going to be looking for a long time. And I respect Smitty, and I said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to start viewing it a little different. This is even soft for those expectations.
Bro.
And you watch these other guys. There are guys in this league that play with a level of physicality. Call it old school, call it whatever you want. But they're the better players in this league. And I mean, you go to San Francisco and watch how George Kittle plays the tight end position. Go to San Francisco and watch how Trent Williams plays the left tackle position. And we can go down. You can go to Indy and watch a guard play that's nasty as hell. You can go to Denver and watch the Miners kid that's nasty as hell. Are they as talented as it? No, they're not as talented, but they're nasty. And I cannot believe, Ron, the level of softness that I watch. And guys get up. And there is zero concern about whether you're embarrassed, whether your coach is going to call you out, or whether you're going to be on it in on the damn field in the next drive. There's zero.
Yeah.
I mean, it just.
I think right now, until they can, and I do think this is an off season where they will try to change some of that. I am a bit surprised that they decided to go the route that they did to continue to roll. What some of these guys that I don't fit I don't think fit the profile of the physicality that I believe D'Amico's looking for, but they've done it. And I do get the feeling that they may try to change that now, but I think they're stuck.
It is very, very, very difficult for anybody to set a standard in that room other than Laremy Tunsil. And when Laremy Tunsil is taking days off, when you're the worst pass-protecting team in the league, when Laremy Tunsil's a guy that there's not a level of physical, there's no nastiness there, then it just becomes acceptable throughout the offensive line. And that to me, that's the biggest kind of concern here is that.
And it may just be the entire offensive side of the ball. Right.
When that's the standard and nobody holds him accountable and nobody points it out and nobody, like what I'm watching on film, D'Amico Ryans, and I don't ask that he do it publicly. A lot of people think every time I talk about D'Amico and I want to hear a different tone, he wants to do it publicly. I'm not saying D'Amico should do it publicly, but D'Amico Ryans should embarrass dudes in the film room. I mean, it should be down. It's at a point where it's criminal. It's at a point where it's a fireable offense. He should be dismantling guys in the film room.
Yeah. Coming up, Texans All Access Players Edition. Henry Toa, he will join the guys tonight here, coming up right after we get done here, as well as Area 45, 8 to midnight. We are live and local as we are nightly here. So you'll be able to hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, Tyler, let's get to T Mills' best bets. Last night, it did not go well at all.
No, it didn't.
It's the first time we've seen this. You went 0-6. 0-6 on all six of those bets. You got a long way to get to 50% or better by the end of this week, but
when you lock me out, this is what happens.
It's a new day. Cannot believe that Tyreek Hill 5 receptions did hit. It's a new day though. It's a new day. Mm-hmm. What are you looking at tonight as your best bet?
Yeah, it is a new day, and as I and many like to say, scared money don't make money. So we're back on the horse, back in the saddle.
That's one way to look at it.
I got five best bets for you tonight, all NBA plays, so get your pens and pencils ready. As always, you can find it on my Twitter if you don't get some of these down. First off, I got the Raptors. They're facing off against the Bucks tonight. I got the Raptors with points, +8.5. Then I got the Knicks and the 76ers as they square off tonight. I'm on the over for this game. It is a low total at 212.5. And now I got three player props for you. First, Drew Holiday with the Celtics, over 4.5 rebounds. Also with the Celtics, Jason Tatum, over 5.5 assists tonight. Last prop for you, the Maverick, Luka Doncic, over 8.5 rebounds this evening. Those are my five best bets. Take a look, C's. What do you think?
Yeah, see, Tatum is the one, man. He's been racking up assists. It seemed like he found something in the finals and in the playoffs to where he seems to get others involved. He's seeming to be around 5, 6, 7 a night.
I think I've hit two assist props with him this year.
That, I like that one. That 76ers one, that is low. Joel Embiid returns tonight. He plays for the first time ever since he was almost about to whip that reporter's ass. He plays for the first time tonight, so we'll see at least two of the big three. I don't think Maxie's back yet, but Paul George and him in the lineup. So that one's not bad with them and the Knicks. That'll be a fun game tonight. But that Tatum one is the one I really like.
I ain't got no input. You won't let me play.
Well, you definitely not 0-6. Yeah,
I lost some green last night, bro.
That is gone. Woo! Henry Toa, players
locking me out.
Edition Texans All Access coming up behind us, and stay tuned, live and local till midnight. Area 45, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton coming up after Texans All Access. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I'm Ron Hughley, as always. Houston, we love you, baby. That's right. The Drive is live. You heard Clint right there, and you see Tyler as well showing his nipples. See, this is around the time where you if you got on top of shaving.
Yeah, that's rough.
Now you get there, and now you got to start using Nair, and now you got to start taking.
Oh, I'll never touch Nair again.
But you look like Mm-mm. Like the way black folks get their hair cut. You look like an every 2 weeks.
I'm so covered, though. It's going to take long no matter what.
No, not every 2 weeks.
It's 50 minutes minimum.
It ain't going to have that much there.
I still got to cover the same surface area no matter how long the hair's got.
Yeah, but a fellow but hairy that's so guy. Thick.
And I know it's going to be a lovely
damn, Tyler.